Hey, if you're brand new in the room, maybe you've never been to our church, or maybe you've never even been to church in general. We like to say week in and week out, man, that we are here to build you up, not
teach you up.
Yeah, like we love you, we back you. We're not that kind of church. Also, you need to know, we believe that church should be enjoyed, not endured. And so we're gonna have fun tonight. As you have already seen, we're not your typical church. And if tonight you're like, I don't know what to expect, I don't know what's gonna come next, tonight is gonna be as casual as it gets. Tonight is gonna be just real chill. My wife and I are gonna talk for a little while just around the topics that we've been talking about in this series entitled Hashtags and Scumbags. Who's enjoyed this series? Who, when you heard this, when you first heard this title, who thought about your ex? I didn't even want to look out here. I was just like, I'm just gonna take it. Can I just praise God for a minute? Hey, man, this has been such a great series. It's been a series all about dating, mating, and relating in a broken and social media world. And I believe this wholeheartedly, that God's way is the best way. And I believe that. And I believe wholeheartedly that God, when it comes to dating, mating, and relating, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to a boyfriend, a girlfriend, when it comes to dating, when it comes to, yes, also mating, yes, even sex, we do talk. Sound like someone over here just let air out of a balloon. Here's what I believe. I believe wholeheartedly that God created sex, and so we should talk about it in church. And so if you're here and you're like, oh my gosh, what kind of church did I just walk into? We're not going into detail or anything like that, so you could just be at ease. But man, I'm really excited for tonight. And tonight is the last week in this series. And next week, this is the only time you'll ever hear me tell you this, because Bridge Youth is for junior high and high school. But next week, bring your parents. This is the one time your parents can come to youth. We're having a night of worship and prayer. It is going to be phenomenal. I'm not going to be preaching, so I'm sorry. I know you guys, you're so bummed. You're so disappointed. You're like, what am I going to do? You could go back to the podcast and listen to me. You, like David, can lift weights and have the podcast in your ears and then talk out loud to nobody, because you're not in church, you're at the gym. And when I say, hey, everybody say, what's up? And then he says, what's up in the gym? And people stare at him like he's a total weirdo. You could do that, or you could just listen to it on your own. But man, next week is gonna be awesome. I'm not gonna be preaching, but I am tying in next week with our brand new series that we're kicking off. Technically next week, the first full message will be the following week, and that series is gonna be entitled God's Plan. It's gonna be a phenomenal series surrounded by, yeah, all y'all clapping right now are barely saved. Like, hey, and the church kids are like, yeah, God's plan, glory to the Lord. Plans to prosper us and not harm us. They're planning to give us a hope and a future. Hallelujah. All the people who like aren't like, you're like barely saved, you're like, she said, do I love you? I tell her only partly. I only love my bed and my mama. I'm sorry. Like, you guys are like, y'all are still saved but barely. Hey, that's gonna be our series this next month, and it's all surrounding God's plan and some of life's greatest struggles. Week one, I'm gonna talk about depression. I'm gonna talk about suicidal thoughts, and I know for some of you, those of you who go to Vista, that hits home to you today more than ever. And just know, those of you who do go to Vista, our hearts, our thoughts, and our prayers have been with you all day long today. And so we're praying with you guys. We're praying alongside that young person's family. And so, man, know that this series next month is one that's going to hit home. My wife is going to be speaking in week number 3 surrounding anxiety, worry, and fear. So it's going to be an awesome series. But tonight I'm so stoked about this series, because I really believe that when it comes to what the enemy wants to steal from you, because I don't know if you know this. Look at your neighbors. Tell them, if you don't know, now you know. The barely saved people are like, I like, someone brand new here who's just listened to 90s hip hop growing up is like, I like this church. I'm in. Like, if you don't know, now you know that you got an enemy, a real, actual enemy. And the Bible says he has a plan for your life. He has an agenda. He has a strategy. And it's really, really, really simple. It's to kill, steal, and destroy everything from your life. And so if ever something is killed, stolen from you, or destroyed, know that that is not God, that is the enemy. And the one place I see him more than any other place try to kill, steal, and destroy is in the areas of dating, mating, and relating. It's in relationships. It's in your guys' boyfriend relationships, girlfriend relationships. And he wants to destroy your future marriage. But I know this, that my Bible says that I know, God says, I know the plans I have for you. And he doesn't just say it, he declares it. And how many Office fans know that that's a difference, man? There's a difference there. He doesn't just say it, he declares it. And he says, here's the plan. There are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. God has better plans for your life than you have for your own life. God has better plans for your future relationship than you have for yourself. God can actually do better than you've ever dreamed of, thought of, or imagined. And all the ladies in the room said, amen. Yeah, because your man's going to look better than Ryan Gosling. Like, that's the truth if you... And all the guys are like, dang it, Corey, calm down. Like, I don't lift weights. Why? Because they're heavy and it hurts, okay? Like, I don't have washboard abs. It's just not, I have Chipotle, like, waiting for me. Man, I believe this wholeheartedly, that God has better plans for your life than you have for your own life when it comes to dating, mating, and relating. So tonight's going to be a unique night, and I believe that tonight that God's going to do big, big, big things in your life. And if you would say from this night forward that you would walk with God, I promise you this, you will not regret it, and you will be blessed for it. Before we move on, would you bow your heads, would you close your eyes? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for who you are and what you're doing tonight, God. I pray that this evening... that God, our hearts would be open, our minds would be open. God, I pray in Jesus' name that truth would prevail in us. We're tackling some difficult, tough questions. God, I pray that you, God, would just shower us with grace, shower us with mercy, shower us with your wisdom, your heart, God. I pray that in Jesus' name that you would be with us, God. I pray if anyone in this room does not know you, they'd get in a relationship with you tonight, God, that they'd take a chance on you, God, knowing that every other relationship will ultimately fail them, but you will not. You've never failed, and you're not going to start with us. God, thank you that I didn't marry anybody ugly. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody said, God, thank him while you can, people. Thank him. Hey, so tonight, you guys know how we do it. We're going to take some questions on the spot. And so if you're going to be one of the brave people who wants to ask a question here on the spot, we will take them, but we are going to filter them because, like, some of y'all are saved, but barely, and we just want to make sure you're not going to cuss into a microphone because we record this and we put it online and we can't have no F-bombs on it. Hey, so if you have a question right now, just raise your hand wherever you're at. You got a question, and we're not going to take them right here. You're going to talk to a couple of our leaders, and we're going to take them there. One. Who else? Anybody else? You got a question? Yeah? Come on now. We'll answer it. Talk to Janelle. Ask her a question. If you have a question, go see Janelle right here. Sky's getting one right now. I'm going to filter them. Hey, if you think about a question, write it down. Put it in your notes app. Don't forget it. Don't trust it to memory. While you guys do that, we're going to start off with a question that we received in our DMs last week. And that is this. When temptation hits, who's ever been tempted? Come on. If you're not raising your hand, you're being tempted to lie right now. When temptation hits, what are some ways to battle it? That's a great question, because here's the reality. Like, if you're not being tempted, then, like, check your pulse. You're probably dead, right? We're all going to be tempted. Let's not try to be overly spiritual. But I'm so holy. I'm so godly. I don't get tempted. Like, you're lying. We all get tempted. So how do we battle it? Because we know the answer isn't, let's just give in to the temptation. Let's just do whatever we want, whenever we want, whatever we feel. Let's just run with that. Not a good strategy. Here's some ways to battle some temptation. Number one, have accountability. Now, here's the thing about accountability is that you have to plan for the temptation that you're not yet being tempted with. I'm gonna say that again because there's a lot of words in there. You have to plan for the temptation that you're not yet being tempted with. I said it like this a little while ago in regards to struggles or a storm or tragedy. You got to plan for the storm that hasn't yet hit. All right? In the same way, you need to have accountability set up so that if you are tempted, you have somebody that you can call. I got people in this room who is accountable to me, and when they're tempted, when they got something on their plate in front of them that they're like, oh, like I know I shouldn't give into this. What do they do? They text me, they call me, they hit me up, and if nothing else, I get to tell them, hey, I'm praying for you. So do that. Galatians 6 verse 1 and 2, it says, brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him with what? With a spirit of gentleness. It says restore. It doesn't say judge. It doesn't say point fingers. It doesn't say beat them up. It says actually that word restore, it actually means a lot more like build them up, restore them, get them back to square one, help them, be their friend, encourage them. And then it says keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so you're not supposed to walk alone. You're supposed to bear one another's burdens, right? Like you're supposed to, you know, a little while ago, Kai, he did it. I'm sorry, JJ. Where's JJ? Where'd you go, JJ? Hey, what's up, boy? How you doing? You doing good? How you been, man? How's your mama? Hi. Let her know I said what's up, man. I saw her Sunday. She was in church. This what's up? You were there. Cool. What are you doing tomorrow? So, JJ did an illustration the first Wednesday of the year where he was lifting weights, and then he put more and more and more weight on, and he was like, man, I can't lift this anymore, and he called for his boy Kai to come and help him. See, at some point in time in your life, the things that are thrown at you, they're going to be weighty. They're going to be heavy. And if you got people around you to help carry that, then that's, man, that is just, that's wisdom. The second thing I would say after having accountability is pray. Pray. As soon as temptation hits, pray. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. So that's saying, like, everybody's struggling. Basically is what that's saying. So when you're sitting in your room like, I'm the only one who's dealing with it. No, you're not. Like, you're not that special. Okay, so calm down. You're not the only one. A lot of people are dealing with the same struggles that you're dealing with. It goes on to say, and God is faithful. How many know God is faithful? Yeah, it says God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So those of us who have given in to temptation and we're like, it was just, I couldn't say no. Actually, yeah, you could have. Because God actually, the Bible says, he's not going to tempt, like, you're not going to be tempted, because we know this, God's not the one who tempts. You guys know that, right? So let me just, okay, some of you guys don't know that. Let me fix some theology. Some of you guys don't even know what the word theology means. Let me fix some people's belief systems. Some of you think, oh, well, God is tempting me in this to test me to see if I'll be really strong. It's not God. The Bible says that God does not tempt. That's not him. There's two places temptation comes from. Satan and your own broke self, okay? Like, that's where temptation comes. Us, ourselves, me, my own sinful nature, and Satan. And so it's not God who tempts us, and you can bear it. It says, when you are tempted, he, God, will provide a way out so you can endure it. So the first thing to do is when you're tempted, pray, God, show me the way out, because I know there's a way out. Just show me it. And the last thing I'll say is use wisdom. Wisdom is doing things like having accountability set up. Want to add anything, babe?
I would like to add some things. Who's at Bridge Women, the ladies, on Monday night? Yeah, I love Bridge Women because Pastor Ann, you know, the things that she shares are so on point, and it's just like, I feel like our church is completely connected in every which way. You know, on Sunday I'll hear Pastor speak or Zach, and I'm like, God, like the youth need to hear that, and you know, what we're talking about in this unity thing, and Bridge Women's in this whole unity thing. And so she was talking about a few different things, and one thing stuck out in regards to talking about temptation when it hits. I thought of it when I was kind of thinking about what I wanted to share about this specific question and what are some ways to battle it. Pastor Ann talked about having that godly connections bring God's protection. And I even posted about it because I was just like, wow, like, that is such a good thought. It doesn't mean that we only hang out with Christians, right? And I love that she brought that up. We don't only hang out with Christians, but our main people are people who are believers. And, you know, talking about accountability, you know, if you're not hanging around, you know, believers most of your time, then you're going to be sucked into like, hey, let's go to this party. Hey, let's do this. Hey, let's do that. You're going to have a lot more, you're going to struggle with temptation more because you have a lot of invites to these things of people that don't have the same belief system as you. And it's not wrong, but if you're constantly hanging out with people that don't believe in God, then they're going to pull you to things. They're going to compromise your beliefs. You're going to be pulled into situations, so you will be tempted more. So I wanted to encourage you to, you know, to make more godly connections. And, you know, within Bridge Youth, within the church, you know, getting connected, you know, the coming to Bridge Women on Monday nights, connecting with some older women for the ladies. And I just think that's so important because even in our own personal life, you know, there's so many godly connections that Corey and I have that really we wouldn't be sitting here sharing if it wasn't for those godly connections that God really used to pour. Like even Gary and Amy last week, that is a godly connection for us. And they have done so much in our life and they have been such an encouragement to our faith. And even as youth pastors, you know, some of the stuff that we struggle with that only another youth pastor would understand, they understand that. And that all comes from godly connections. So I want to encourage you to really press into those godly connections that you have here at Bridge Youth. And that's why we're talking that, you know, the way we speak about this room is that we're a family because we want those connections to be deep because it's going to protect you. You're literally not going to be tempted as much if you have deep godly connections, right? So that is so important. And so when Pastor Aaron was speaking about that, it was a whole different subject on unity, but it was so perfect for this temptation thing because really it'll protect you from more temptation that will come in your life. And so we don't want to give the enemy you know, more room in our life, right, to tempt us. We don't want that. You know, we have enough. We have to deal with enough. I'm like, huh. You know, I get stressed out easy and I'm like, I got enough to deal with. I'm not, you know, dealing with war. So I want to encourage you with that. And also, 1 John 1:9 says, if we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, and we will forgive our, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us continually. Continually means that it's not just one time. It's, you know, that's why I say you need deep connections. More than one conversation, more than just a high and by at church. You know, we want these deep connections. From all unrighteousness, our wrongdoing, everything not in conformity with his will and purpose. And so the continually part of that is, you know, confessing to God, but also being connected to people, being transparent with people who are a little bit ahead of you, right? The accountability thing. I know we brought up the scripture that talks about Proverbs 15:22 says, without consultation and wise advice, plans are frustrated. How true is that? But with many counselors, they are established and succeed. And so it just always comes back to really being connected to people in the same place that you are, having those godly connections, and also people that are a little bit ahead of you. It's really going to change your entire walk with God, honestly. And to know, like, just think about this. To know that you have someone that you can be completely honest and transparent with that isn't going to judge you, that's going to love you, but also is going to tell you the truth, right? And is going to encourage you to do the right thing and encourage you to go to God. And when you know that you can be complete, I mean, it's the best feeling. I have a couple women in my life that I can be a mess in front of, and that feels so great, but I know that that is something, that godly connection is something God has really placed in my life. So if I have a fulfillment about it, and I want to encourage you to do the same. Have deep godly connections, because then you won't be tempted as much.
You're fine. I'm digging the middle part. This looks good. Loving it. You're distracting me, Joey. I'm trying to flirt with my wife. As you can tell, I'm so good at flirting. I can quote Star Wars to you if you need me to. Tell me you love me. I know. Who caught that? Han Solo movie, baby. It's coming out soon. Hey, get wisdom. Know this, people have gone before you and are better at life than you are, and that includes struggle. As soon as you can admit that you're not the best at everything and admit that you've sinned, man, all of a sudden, like, you get better and better and better. Amen? Hey, I think we have a question. Who's this back here? Tell us your name. Tell us your question.
Levi.
Oh, what's up, Levi?
What's up?
It's good. What's your question, Levi?
So my question is, how do you be friends with a person who is Christian but like continuously has like sex?
Okay, so how can you be friends with someone like that?
Yeah.
You know what? I think, here's what I believe. And that's a great question, Levi. That's a really, really good question, because probably most of us have friends who are believers and yet aren't necessarily living the best kind of life that reflects that. So I will say this first and foremost. Build up, don't beat up. You know, be an encourager, and know that some things only take time. I spoke at Solomon's, who knows Solomon? My dude. I spoke at Solomon's church last week, and one of the things that he said as he was introducing me to preach was, man, Corey was one of my best friends in one of the worst times of my life. When I was off being a knucklehead and being an idiot, Corey still loved me. And I called him out, because I believe this. I believe that a real friend tells you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. Now, know this, that some friends will run when you tell them what they need to hear instead of what they want to hear. But when you're just like, hey, like, I'll be here waiting for you, and I love you, and I back you, and I'm so for you, and I just want what's best for you, I see that time and time and time again, those friends always come back. Those friends always return. When life really starts to get close to rock bottom, they'll come to you and be like, hey, Levi, like, you were always there, man. Like, you tried to tell me what I needed to hear, and you were loving about it. You weren't like judging me and trying to act like you're better than me. And so, man, like, now that my life is sort of in this place where I feel like I need to put it back together, man, would you help me do that? Would you walk with me? So I would say, first and foremost, again, build up, don't beat up, be an encourager, back them, support them, love them, and then be patient. Because some people, it's going to take a long time. Some people, as soon as you call them out, it'll be like that. It'll be like, whoa, like, thank you for that wake-up call. Thank you for, like, being a true friend that'll tell me what I need to hear, not just what I want to hear. But if they don't, and if they just keep living that way, man, you keep believing for them. You keep praying for them. You keep loving them. Be patient with them. The Bible talks about how patient is God with us, right? I mean, like, he's so patient with us. Like, some of us are still living in sin right now, and yet he's like, I'm not going to run from you. I'm not going to leave you on your own. Some of you think that God's like pissed at you because you're not like behaving well. Like, that's not the case. He loves you so much and he's so patient. We should be patient with people as well. But that doesn't mean that we just sweep it under the rug and we're the friend that's just like, oh no, you're good. Like, I love you so much. You're so great. Every part of your life is phenomenal, because you can accept someone and not approve, right? Like, those are two different things. Like, any and everybody can find home here at Bridge Youth. Like, we have atheists that come to Bridge Youth, and we love them, and they're family to us. We've got Muslims that come to Bridge Youth. We've got Mormons that come to Bridge Youth. We have Catholics that come to Bridge Youth. We have all different types of people who come to Bridge Youth. And man, like, we don't have to agree on everything to be family. Like, how many of you disagree with your family a lot, right? But you're still family. And so be family to them and love them and back them and be patient with them. The last thing I'll say about that is, but those friends who are going to those places and doing those things, you beware, because it's easier to be brought down than it is for you to bring up. And so don't go to those places. You know, I had, Solomon will tell you, for a while, right, around age 18 and 19, him and a bunch of the dudes started going to the club. There's a couple of clubs in downtown Riverside that they started going to, and I didn't go, not once. Now, I mean, I was already with Amber, so she would have just murdered me if I even tried. And number two is, like, it's just, I just was uninterested. Like, what do you go to a club for? You go to drink. I'm straight edge. I don't drink. You go to hook up with girls. I had already had an awesome girl I was in a great relationship with. I had no need to go. They're like, let's go. We're just going to hang out. Don't go to the places with those friends, because, again, I'll say this all the time. I got friends I'll hang out with on a Tuesday afternoon, but I ain't hanging out with them on a Friday night. And that comes with having wisdom. So.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the first thing I thought of was that you're aware, like, you're not just kind of going along with, like, oh, yeah, so Christians do that. Okay, yeah, let's do that. You know, like, you're obviously aware that sex outside of marriage is not biblical and not God's God's way. And so I think when you're aware, I had a very personal relationship with like one of my best friends, you know, that I walked through a bit of this with, of years of, you know, them living a life knowing that I was going to tell them the truth, but they also knew that they could come crash at my house and that they could call me up anytime and I'd be there for them. And so when we're talking about showing a deep love for people, I think we are not God and we do not do inner work on people. Number one, we are not the Savior. So you can not do Jesus's job, but Jesus uses us as hands and feet to love and encourage and to be there for, not to encourage the bad behavior, but to remind them of their self-worth so that one day they choose to not just sleep around. You know what I'm saying? Because then they realize they have self-worth, that God will work in their heart. Continue to invite, continue to invest in them, unless it becomes toxic to where they bring you to places and you walk with them in spots that you shouldn't be. You have to make a decision. Are they pulling me this way too much, or am I influencing them? Am I inviting them to church? Are they coming every once in a while? You know, you have to gauge that. But I think our goal is to love people. It says first in 1 Peter 4:8, it says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins, right? So our goal is to love people, and they know our boundaries. Like my friend that wasn't living for God and now is living for God, and we were friends then and we're friends now, and we're even closer now because we have that God thing happen, and like God's been doing this and God's been doing this. We didn't have that always, but she knew that I loved her. She knew that I would back her. She knew that I didn't look at her differently. She knew that I was she knew that I would tell her, that guy's stupid, you shouldn't be dating him, what are you doing? And she would, and then she would break up. But you know, but I think our goal is to love people and let Jesus really do that inner work. And we're to extend, invite, to be there for them, to love them, and then pray. Be specific about your prayer life. Don't just like, oh God, this and that, you know, like just, you know, do it all. No. Be specific. Write their name down in your journal and say, God, begin to work in their life. God, help them to open up their heart to receive what you have, and really pray that God would do an inner work. Because if people are kind of sleeping around thinking sex isn't a big deal, you know, one day that's going to catch up. It really is a big deal. And I think it's a self-worth issue. Like, you know, it's a lot of different situations. It's hard to just pin it to one thing. But I think the goal is to love them. Yeah.
It's really, really good. Does that help, Levi?
Hey, great question, man.
Before we move on to our next question, if you think of a question and you have one, you know, let's just change the format a little bit. If you think of a question, you have one, you could just stand up, head back over to Sky and Janelle, filter your question to them. Hey, before we get to this next question, so hold on for just a second, sweetie. I want to tackle a question that this was our most frequently asked question, and this is a question that I'm just gonna tackle it really quick because I think that too many churches make this such a huge deal. But it was asked so frequently. I typically will not talk about this from a platform with a microphone in my hand. People will always pressure you to give blanket statements to very complicated and dynamic situations. And before I tell you you're a sinner or you're sinning, I'd rather know your name. I'd rather know your story. And I think that this specific conversation, this specific question is so much better within the context of a relationship and one-on-one, but because it's been so, we were just over inundated with this question over and over and again, and just the way in which it was asked, I was like, man, I really, really want to just tackle this and just kind of set the record straight. So I'm not going to spend long on it, but the question was, is homosexuality a sin? And one person actually submitted it by saying, I have same-sex attraction. Is it true that God hates me and I'm going to hell? Because that's what I've been told. To whoever, whether that's somebody who's here or maybe someone who's going to watch the podcast later, whoever that is, let me first and foremost just apologize to you for whatever, I don't know if I can say this, I'm just going to say it anyways, for whatever scumbag Christian told you that and made you think that or feel that, that is not God's heart. God loves you so much. In fact, he's infatuated about you, regardless of what your background looks like, regardless of what your story is. God loves you so, so, so much. On top of that, man, we love you so, 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 so much. So the only thing I really want to do with this question is just share what the Bible says, because when our opinion, because I have an opinion about this, but how many know that when our opinion differs from the Bible, that the Bible's right and we're wrong, right? We need a standard, and the standard is the Bible, and it will always be the Bible. And so first and foremost, just I will say that homosexuality, the Bible states, is a sin, but it's no, it's not like this huge, giant, massive sin or this tiny sin. And when the New Testament talks about it, it actually just lumps it up in a list of struggles. And here's what it says. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11, it says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, so already the first thing isn't even talking about homosexuality. It's just talking about sexual sin in general. It says sexual sin or worships idols or commits adultery or prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves. Who's ever stolen anything? Next thing it says is greedy. Who has ever thought about themselves before somebody else? Tight. So, like, of those of you raising your hands, I know many of those hands, and those of you who just raised your hands, you're a Christian and you believe wholeheartedly that you're going to heaven, right? And yet you're on the list. There's no difference between those of you who are on this list and those of you who don't necessarily relate to other parts of the list. It goes on, it says, or drunkards. That's like anyone who's ever been drunk. I'm not going to ask for a raising of hands because, well, y'all under 21. Like, I've been drunk before. I've been drunk before. That means, okay, so I'm on the list. Like, I'm already on the list 3 or 4 times. Or are abusive, or who cheat people. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to this. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. It just gives the list. This specific struggle that we're talking about is not first, and it's not first on the list. It's also not last on the list. It's just on the list. Amen. Like, we can just say, the only thing other than that I'll just throw out is I know that there's a conversation that continually comes up that says, I was born this way. That's an interesting conversation to me, just because I wasn't born heterosexual. I didn't come out of the womb with thoughts towards the opposite sex. In fact, I remember kindergarten, first, second grade, still thinking that girls were icky. And they had cooties, and I want to stay away from them. It's something that developed, right? Like, I developed into that attraction. So that's number one. But even if I was born with this incredible, raging heterosexuality that I just could not deny, well, the Bible still gives me parameters around that. And the Bible still gives me rules. I don't get to just say, hey, I was born this way, so I'm going to go and sleep with every single girl I can find who's willing. No, I'm not allowed to do that. Why? Because the Bible gave me a standard. When it comes to standards, the Bible is the truth. And when we disagree with the Bible is correct. Let me just finish by saying this. Hey, if you're in the room and you you identify as homosexual, you say I'm gay or I'm bisexual or I'm transgender or whatever the case is, this is home for you. And maybe everything I just said, you completely disagree with. Cool beans. Remember when I just told you a second ago that family can disagree? Yeah. Family can disagree, right? Like, you can disagree with me on this. Can I tell you, if you were to walk up to me after service and say, Corey, I completely disagree, I'd give you a hug and be like, love you. We do not have to agree on this. We do not have to have the same point of view. I'm just telling you, man, when I read my Bible, that's what I see. And I'm not going to run from the truth of the Bible. And at the end of the day, like, I have a ton of friends who struggle with this, and it's not different than any other struggle. So we'll just leave it at that. Amen? We good? Solid? Cool. Love you guys. Hey, what's your name? What's your question?
So my name is Maddie, and my question is, recently Okay.
And I want to know how to tell them, like, that was wrong.
Yeah.
Without, like, ending our friendship because you made a sin.
Can you restate that last part? Why we want to know why that's wrong and...
How do I tell her that's wrong and without, like, destroying our friendship because she did something that she wasn't supposed to?
Tell her that boys are icky. They're disgusting. Tell her that you're in junior high. What grade are you in?
Sixth.
You're in sixth grade. Cool. Tell her that junior high boys don't brush their teeth. Problem solved. Hey, what was your name again?
Maddie.
That's such a good question. That's a really, really good question. Here's what I'll tell you. I can't like open my Bible and get to the verse that says making out is a sin, right? Like, I can't give you that verse because it's really not in the Bible. The day in which the Bible was written was primarily in cultures where there was arranged marriages. How many of y'all would want your mom and dad to arrange your marriage? Not me, right? So this situation, Maddie, like it didn't really happen much in biblical days. But here's what I know. The Bible says to flee from sexual immorality. And so the reality is that like, how many of y'all know I'm married? Happily married. I will tell you this. When you start making out, that's like step one to a destination. You know what I'm saying? Like... So basically, you can have this conversation. Hey, maybe you didn't necessarily do some terribly, horribly sinful thing that's gonna send you to hell, right? Like, that's not the conversation. But hey, like, what you did was you opened a door that probably shouldn't have yet opened. And you gave someone access into a part of your life and your heart and your body that I don't think that they deserved yet. And so here's the reality is no boy in junior high can appreciate, I'll just say for what it is, they cannot appreciate kissing a female and what that means to a female. No junior high boy can appreciate that. For a junior high boy, making out with a girl is the same exact thing as him playing Fortnite. He's just trying to pass time. He's just trying to have fun and entertain himself. So ladies in the room, how many ladies in the room know that, wait, what gaming system is Fortnite on? Xbox. How many of the ladies in the room know that you are, can I get a witness? That you are more valuable than Xbox. Okay, so... Some guys are like, I really love my Xbox. Ladies, you are so much more valuable than an Xbox. And so for guys in junior high, God honest, what they're looking for in making out is to have fun, to entertain themselves, which is basically dumbing down a female's value to that of an inanimate object that doesn't have a brain or a soul or emotions or passions or feelings. They're dumbing down your value. They're just trying to have fun. And then they're trying to not only just have fun, but turn around to their boys and do this. Yes. And if you're still high-fiving after making out, then you're too young to be making out. So I would just leave it at like, hey, like you, like, To my friend, you probably opened a door that he was not yet deserving of, that he did not understand the value of it, and he did not appreciate. And really, that's step one to a very detrimental and damaging destination. Like, that's a place that you don't want to go. And man, why don't we do what we can to close that door? And man, just like get back to square one and just like, you know, stop giving away things that should belong to your future spouse.
Yeah, I think just encouraging her about her worth so it doesn't come off like, oh, you did this bad thing and I'm pointing my finger. It's like, girl, you're worth more. Like, does he even care that he made out with you? Like, he's in junior high, you know? So I think that's the biggest thing is just continuing to love her and to be a friend and to say you're worth more than that. Like, make it about her being worth more because that is the truth. you know, to not just give away things. So, yeah.
Hey, is that help, Maddie? What a great question. Yeah. So good. Who do we got next? I don't even know if we're going to go to our written questions. We got a line over here. Who's this? Is that Amber? Amber, what's up, girl? What's your question, Amber?
Okay, so I've noticed that my friend seems to be putting her relationship with her boyfriend ahead of her relationship with God, but I don't think she realizes it. It's just like what I've seen, so I don't really know how to help her.
That's really good. Okay, so some of the two things that I'll say with this, and this is kind of a really like, this can be pretty general, and like there's so many directions we can run with this. So the two things I'll say is, number one, just begin, man, I know that this is such like the Christian thing to say, I get it, but man, begin to pray, because I know this, that people know this, Bridge Youth, I go to bat for you every time. I get your back every time. I defend you every time. And we, you know, there's been people over the years who are like, hey, why don't you go and tell those little teenage girls to quit walking up in the church in booty shorts? And I'm like, okay, why don't you go and get to know her name and her story and how her father ditched her when she was 7 years old and she doesn't have no, like, feeling of fatherly love and a positive affection from a male. And so all she knows to do is to try and get that from the rest of the world. But I don't need to be, first of all, I'm never going to have that conversation with a female. I'm going to have Amber have that conversation with a female. But like, I'll tell you this, like, often we don't even have those conversations. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is way better at convicting people than we are. So much better. And so when you just pray, God, would you begin to reveal to this friend how her priorities are out of line? And then maybe just pray, okay, God, would you show me one or two specific things that I can bring up to her and just say like, hey, here's two things that I saw that I think are maybe out of whack and out of line. Because if you were to go to your friend and just be like, hey, your relationship with so-and-so is, that's not how you talk, Amber. That's not even close. If you were to say like, hey, your relationship with this person, it's out of order and it's out of line, and I think that you're putting them before God, and then they go, nah, how? And you have no response, well then they're just gonna label you a hater. And like, oh, it's a hit. Like, if, let's just get something straight. If you don't even got 50 followers on Instagram, you got no haters. So calm down and quit it. All right? People walking around all the time, I got haters. You don't got no haters. Okay? Like, be quiet. But you know, have maybe a couple of specific things. Just, hey, and throw it out like this. Hey, I love you so much. Hamburger effect. Remember we talked about that a couple weeks ago? Tell them how awesome they are, how great they are, how fantastic they are. Give them the meat of the issue. Hey, here's what I see. I see that with your girlfriend or with your boyfriend, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, but with your boyfriend or girlfriend, I've seen that you are doing this and doing this. And I don't know, it's just a little weird to me because I feel like your priorities are maybe a little out of whack. Again, I love you back. You take it for what it is. You can completely disagree with me. I'm still so your friend and I love you so much. So, you know, so those would be the two things I'd say.
Yeah, it's interesting how these questions are so connected because really, I mean, God does the work. But I think the best thing you can do, Amber, is you can make that person feel like you'll never give up on them. Because, you know, it sucks to have feelings that your friends might have given up on you because you know the truth of what they're dealing with. Because you knew them before the relationship and now you know them in the relationship. So without them asking for accountability, they're getting it because you knew them before, right? So I think, yes, we need to love them. Yes, the last two questions, you know, we need to love people and allow God to do the work. But more specifically for this thing, you know, I think a lot of times when people get into a relationship and they're putting that, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend over God, they tend to be like, yeah, all of my Christian friends are going to desert me. You know, like, don't be the friend that gives up on them. Yeah. Continue to love on them. Continue to remind them that you'll be there, you know, when no one else is there, that you'll be there as a, you know, as a Bridge Youth family member, as a, you know, a person who serves God. Let them know that you are the person that will not give up on them, no matter what. Maybe it's years down the road. With me, with my friend, it was for years that she did her own thing. But I was still there after the years. Not everybody was still there. So be the friend that doesn't give up.
Hey, maybe even, this is the last thing I'll say, maybe even just fish for an opportunity and ask them, like, hey, how's your relationship with so-and-so going? And then if they're like, oh, well, this actually is how this happened, I don't know, and all of a sudden you have now an opportunity to, sometimes with, I'm giving my strategies away. Sometimes with some of you guys in the room who, like, you're my boys and we do life together and I keep you accountable, once in a while I'll text you, hey, how you doing? And you're like, not so good, actually. And like, you know what? It's funny that you say that and that you brought up the conversation, because I've noticed this. You know, just maybe even just fish for that opportunity and just see, hey, how are you doing? Love them, love them, love them, and then love them some more. Does that help, Amber?
Yes,
great question. Who we got next? What's your name? Who's this?
Lilu.
Oh, Lilu. Hey, what's up, Lilu? I can't see you because I've got spotlights in my face. What's your question, Lilu?
What age do you think we should start dating?
That's a great question. That is a fan. That's actually one of our questions. Really great question, Lilu. 30! No. Hey, let me just... this is like such a... Like, even though it is a fantastic question, is a pretty easy question to tackle. And I'll say it like this. Ladies in the room... Up until about 16, 17, really like more like 18, 19, and 20, honestly. And this is not like my opinion or even the Bible, this is science. Up until right around 17, 18, 19, and 20, you ladies are very far ahead of guys as far as mental maturity is concerned. And that is a literal maturing of your brain, okay? So know this, ladies, you will likely be ready for a serious relationship before the guys will be ready for a serious relationship, okay? Now, I'll also say this, that every situation is different. Involve your parents. If you've got good, solid, godly parents, involve your parents. What do they say? If they say 16, guess what? It's their house. It's 16. I know that's not... Didn't get a single amen on that one. Hey, one day you will have your own house and you will pay the bills and it will be your way or the highway. And if you're, like, this is why when people come and talk to me and they're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old and they're like, my parents are this and my parents are that and they're over demanding, they got all these rules. I say, tight, move out. And it's not even like a bad thing. You're just now at a maturity level where you're ready to be the leader of your own life. So move out of your parents' house so they can stop being the leader of your life. For now, if you're living with your parents, then if they say 16, then it's 16. If they say 17, then it's 17. If they say once you move out, then it's once you move out. Now, I know most of you in the room will not wait and you'll date behind your parents' back anyways. So with that said, first of all, don't do that. Second of all, I would say this, if you cannot, Amber and I started dating when we were 17 years old, and that worked for us. Both of us had circumstances in our lives where we had to, when we didn't have to, but we matured quickly, very fast. We had life circumstances that was, I moved out when I was 18 years old and I never moved back home. We got married at 20 years old, and I'll just say this, if you cannot get married within the next 5 years, you have no business dating, okay? So for those of you who are like, I am going to go to school and get my bachelor's degree, and you're 16, that means you have about 6 years, really, if you're getting a bachelor's degree, you're probably going to go to school for probably 5 or 6, maybe 7 years. You have probably about 6 years, maybe 7 years of school ahead of you. So you're probably not going to get married within 5 years. Here's why I say 5 years. You will, and this is... There's nothing wrong with this. You will gradually become more and more intimate with somebody. First, you're mentally intimate with someone. Okay. So this means, hey, what's your favorite color? What kind of pets do you like? What's your favorite band? And you're getting to know them. Now, this travels to this, and you're like, all of a sudden, like, wow, like I am loving what I'm hearing. This person is awesome. And you begin to become not just mentally intimate with them, you begin to become emotionally intimate with them. And your emotions then begin to get tied to this person. Okay, so, and then over time, typically right around 3, 4, and 5 years in, you will absolutely 100% have the desire to be physically intimate with someone. And that's just the progression of things. And can I tell you, there is nothing wrong with that. Like the pastor who told you, you have a desire for sex, you're going to hell. Like, that's just not true. Like, God has created us this way, and once you've been mentally and emotionally intimate with someone, over time you're gonna have the desire to be physically intimate. Now, you probably, and when I say probably, I mean 99.99%, will not be able to wait longer than 5 years. So if you're trying to wait and you're trying to go God's way, which is what this series is all about, well then, set yourself up in such a way where you're not getting into a relationship and dating if you can't get married in 5 years. Sorry, junior hires.
Yeah, I think I remember being in high school, and like I've said before, I was like, I want a boyfriend. I was so like a romantic kind of person. Like I'd watch movies and I'd be like, I want that. And I think, and here I am. No, but really, yeah, and here you are. No, but you know, before Corey and I met, I mean, I was desperate for a relationship, and you know, that can be an idol for us. And what I mean by idol is that's the thing that we worship. If I have a boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, that's the thing we worship. We need to be in a place before we begin to date. It's not a number. It's not an age, right? The number and age thing is hard to really pinpoint, because Corey and I, you know, started dating at 17, and it is young, but like he was talking about, we had to grow up quick, you know? There was a lot of things in our life that made us grow up really fast. You know, just different life circumstances, our home life, dad's not being there. We just had to kind of, I was like, I'm an independent woman at 18. You know, I felt like that. But I remember a specific prayer that I had. It was around 16 years old, which is so interesting. It was right before I met Corey. And I remember like being so frustrated with guys, because I had dated a couple guys that all they wanted to do was, you know, have sex. And so I was like, no, like, and I was so frustrated. I'm like, oh, like all guys want is something from me. And I was so frustrated, and I'm like, I just want a guy that, you know, I want a guy who is after God's heart, and I want a good guy, and no one's perfect, but like I desired someone who wasn't just looking after my body. I was looking for someone who I can marry one day. And I remember thinking like, oh, like I give up. Like in my frustration, I bet God was just laughing at me, because I was 16 years old, a year before I met Corey. And I remember thinking, you know what, God, like, I'm just going to focus on you right now. Like, I'm just going to, because I had a lot of inner, you know, dad issues and trust issues and all of this that I wasn't really, and I'm still to this day, I'm healing from a lot of that. But my process kind of started back then, where I was like, okay, I'm not going to allow some guy to come in and fix those things in me, like, and become an idol and become everything that I need. I need to focus on God. And I remember saying, God, I give up, but like, okay, I'm not frustrated anymore. I just give up. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until the right time comes, you know? And so I think when I was thinking about this question, we got a question that says, how old were you when you started dating? What's a good age to start dating? How do you know when you're ready to date? So it's the same question as you, Lelu. And as I was, you know, asking God, what can I share with you guys? When you believe every part of the scripture, you're ready. And the scripture is Psalm 139, 13 through 18. Write it down. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. I'm going to read it real quick. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, and as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. When your identity is found in who God has called you to be, that's going to set you up to be ready to date somebody, because your worth is in what God says about you and not what some boyfriend or girlfriend says about you.
That's really, really, really good. Hopefully that helps, Lila. Hey, we have a couple of questions, so we have like kind of a line, so we aren't going to take any more questions, but here's what we're going to do. So how many do we have back there, Sky? Two. Okay, so we're going to like, because there's one specific thing I want to do in just a moment, but if these two people are down with us like kind of speeding through the response, then let's we'll take these two questions, and then I want to do something specific. So what's your name? What's your question?
Jacob.
Jacob, what's up?
Hi. My question is, what do you do when one friend or multiple friends are ignorant to race and religion, and they are just joking around about it, not taking anything seriously?
That is a great question, dude. That is a really, really, really good question. Even though it doesn't necessarily pertain specifically to like dating, mating, and relating, maybe, but relating, I think that's a fantastic question. And Martin Luther King said something, Martin Luther King Jr. said something along the lines of, we're gonna remember all of our friends who stayed silent. And this is why you'll hear me talk about race and partiality and division and sexist people and biased people. You'll hear me talk about that a lot because it's so God's heart. And I think that you absolutely, with every ounce of courage in you, you stand up for those who are being, you stand up for those who are being discriminated against. You stand up for those who are, you know, when your dudes start trying to say sexist stuff. I remember I was playing basketball at the park one time, and a friend of mine got brought up. It was a young lady who went to our youth group, and this girl was a pretty heavy set girl, and she actually had some medical issues that correlated with her weight. And these guys on the basketball court, they started joking about her weight, and she wasn't even there. Like she was like not even present. And immediately I was like, hey, like she is my friend, and you don't talk about my friend like that. And they were like, hey, my bad, like I didn't know that she was your friend. I was like, well, here's the thing, you shouldn't be talking about anybody like that. Like, yo, like that's not cool. And so I would say, it's one of the only, like, here's the thing, this is a place where I struggle with grace here. I really, really do. I struggle with grace here. And I literally pray, God, give me more grace for these type of people, because some of them were born into a situation where parents are a certain way and they're trying to pass this down or whatever. And so I think you do stand up and you do it as lovingly as you can. Back to Martin Luther King Jr., who fought this battle a lot, like, way before us, and did it so much better than us. He said, man, you cannot fight hate with hate. He also said that darkness can't drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And so in whatever way you can, you gotta approach it in a loving way with light. Like, hey guys, like, I know, like, you know, I know you're hilarious. You always got the jokes, but can we not joke about that? Because, you know, like, we live in a world where partiality is very real and discrimination is very real. And, like, for me personally, man, I'm just not about it. And even if you just got to leave it at, like, hey, can you just not do it when I'm around? And if they're like, oh, whatever, dude, be like, no, like, as your friend, could you just respect me in that? And I think probably they'd be like, yeah. And I'll tell you this, like at your age, it's phenomenal that you're standing up for this type of stuff, because most people would be like, oh, who cares about those type of jokes? No, I care about those type of jokes. They're not cool. Like, they're not okay. I care about ignorant sayings, and I care about partiality and racism. And so your friends, nobody is going in 5, 6, 7, and 10 years, when you guys are all graduating out of high school, nobody is going to remember any of the fools who just participated in the joking. But people will remember the one guy who stood up and said, I'm not down with this. What do you want to be? You want to be another face in the crowd, or you want to be remembered? When you stand up, when you have courage, you remember. You want to add anything?
Yeah, the biggest thing is there's some things you cannot be silent about. There are some things that you have to say it, and if that means your friend's going to leave you, then they weren't a good friend in the first place. So you need to speak up. And there's some things that we need to, you know, let people work out and let God work in them, but then there's some things that you have to be, like, there's certain jokes even that I hear, you know, with friends that I have, and I'm like, mm-mm. But they respect me, and I respect them, so they just won't do it again. So, and if they just continue, then they're not good friends anyways.
I'll just add one more thing. One more thing. For all the white people in the room, for the Caucasians in the room, you're my people. Like, we get terrible sunburns. We hide our trash cans under the sink more often than not. I don't know why. I don't know why we do that. We talk like this sometimes and order caramel frappuccinos. Can I just say this? All honesty. You guys, you know what I'm standing on right here? This is what we call a platform. It's a platform. You guys have a platform, whether that is just in front of your group of friends, or it's social media, or it's a classroom, or it's a club, or it's a position of authority that you have. You have a platform. Now, I believe that there's certain things that we can say as white people that will give value to conversations when it comes to things such as racial division. So while some racist people will be like, oh, that's just those people, and they're bringing that up because, yeah, it's there and they're biased towards their own side, and you say, well, this is why I love Billy Graham, because Billy Graham was marching with MLK when no other white pastors were. And his voice meant so much in that place. I gotta tell you, for all the men in the room, your voice matters so much when you call out sexist crap and you say, that is sexist, that's not okay. So you're saying that a female can't be a pastor, like that's not okay. And as a man, my voice is going to mean so, so, so much when it comes to talking into that. I was watching a hip-hop radio show. It's an East Coast show called The Breakfast Club. And there was a pastor on there named Carl Lentz. And Carl Lentz asked this MC, DJ slash host, he said, Charlamagne, like, what is, like, as an African-American, what would you want to say to white people? And he said, say the stuff that we can't. Say the stuff that, like, when we say it, everybody else in the room tones us out because it's just them saying the same old stuff. Say that stuff, man. Stand up. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for asking that question. And stand up for what is wrong.
Thank you.
Good question, dude. One more, then we're gonna pray.
Oh, we're good.
We're good?
Yep.
Hey, there were so many questions. Here's what I hope. I hope that this conversation leads to so much more conversation. One of my favorite things about Bridge Youth is that Bridge Youth happens on Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays and Mondays and Tuesdays as well. It happens at coffee shops. It happens through text. It happens through phone call conversations. It happens at Chipotle. It happens all over the place. So please, if you got equipment, we had questions like, how do I love someone who has self-esteem issues? Is self-harm a sin? What if I'm in a relationship with someone who's self-harmed? What are some boundaries that can help a relationship be centered around God? Is what you wear really important? And if so, in terms of dating, mating, and relating, how is it important? How close to the line can you get with your boyfriend or girlfriend before it's crossing the line? And we had so many great questions. And if you have a question, find a leader. Find a connect group leader. This is why we do connect groups, so that you can text them, you can call them, you can DM them, you can have conversations that go beyond this conversation. And that is one of our greatest hopes. Here's what I want to do to conclude this entire service, and we're going to do this fairly quickly. Could I have all the gentlemen in the room, all the guys in the room, would you stand up? Would you come up to the front? Would you meet me right here? Because ladies, just make room for him. You look good, my man. That's what's up. Hey, ladies, I'm having you specifically stay in your seats for now, because here's what's going to happen. I am going to pray for the guys, and while I pray for the guys, ladies, I want you to be joining in praying for the guys. Ladies, if you want to date a gentleman, start praying for the guys around you to become gentlemen, right? Help them, back them. Know this, ladies, these guys' job is not easy. I can tell you this, it is harder to be a gentleman today than it's ever been. These guys, in so many ways, these guys at the front here have been set up for failure, because music and movies and social media and the way half of the girls at your school dress has set them up for failure. You are gonna set them up for success. And you're gonna pray for them. And you're gonna believe in them. And you're not gonna give in to the stupid lie that says every single guy's a scumbag, because not every single guy is a scumbag. My wife started praying, God, send me a guy after your heart. And man, I am not perfect. I am so far from perfect. But I'll tell you this. I came along a year later, and man, we've been living an adventure ever since. Came along and I cared about who she was before I cared about what she had. I cared about what I could give her before I even thought about what she could give me. But that could have never happened had God not done a work in my heart. Had Jesus, I say this all the time, if me and my wife met in junior high, we would have hated each other. Not because of her, but because I was an idiot. I was a scumbag. I was smoking weed. I was doing my own thing. I was going making out with anybody who would make out with me. I was being an idiot. But then God did a work. So I'm praying that God's going to do a work in every single one of these men's hearts, in their minds, in their souls, so that we will have some gentlemen around that you guys can start considering dating. All right? If you're new to church, we do something super duper spiritual once in a while, and we stretch a hand towards people that we're praying for. So right now, if you're comfortable, would you just stretch a hand towards these guys? We're going to pray for them. Gentlemen, would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? If you got your dudes around you, throw your arm around someone, grab their hands, pray with each other while I pray for you. Ladies, would you begin to pray alongside me? God, thank you so much for these men of God. I pray that in Jesus' name that you would bring healing to minds and to hearts right now in Jesus' name. I pray for every ounce of damage that music and movies and social media and even some girls around them, all the damage that has been caused, I pray for healing over that right now in Jesus' name, that we can be a generation that rises up as men of God that says, no, women are not objects. They are not here to fulfill a desire of mine, but they are God's creation. They are masterpieces. God, help them to begin to have that mentality so that they can be true men of God who walk as gentlemen, who walk as guys who, God, that would be deserving of a godly woman and that would be able to care for them in the way in which they would need to be cared for. So God, I pray for any of these gentlemen who have struggled in the past. I pray for a fresh start and a new beginning right now in Jesus' name. It's a brand new step. It's a brand new day. It's a brand new start. Bring healing. Even as Romans says, God, that transform them by the renewing of their mind. Even get rid of some memories that need to be gotten rid of. Get rid of some images that need to be gotten rid of. God, get rid of some things that need to get out of their minds and out of their hearts so that, God, they can walk with you in such a way, Lord, where we can begin to devastate the stupid statistic that says only 3% wait until marriage and 50% of marriages end in divorce. We declare and we say tonight, not us. Not us, God. We are going to shift culture. We are going to shift society, God, and we are going to tilt it towards you because we know this, God. Your way is the best way. So, God, put trust in their hearts, even those who haven't always done it your way. Put trust in their hearts, God, that you have better plans for them than they have for themselves, and they'd be able to walk that out. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Hey, I love you boys so much. Hey, real quick, gentlemen, before you go anywhere, this was not in my plan. Every dude up here, look at me real quick. Look at me real quick. I love you, my man. Hey, I grew up most of my years without a father, and I grew up with a stepdad who, my stepdad has told me he was proud of me 3 times in my entire life. Once when I graduated middle school, once when I graduated high school, and once when I became a pastor. This is a fact. I saw my stepdad once in 2017. One time. He lives 45 minutes away. Gentlemen, I'm proud of you. You can do it. I believe in you. You can. You are strong enough and you are good enough. I don't care what your past is. Your future is going to be better. I believe in you boys so much with all of my heart. You're going to be men of God. And I declare that over your life right now in Jesus' name. I love you boys so much. Hey, ladies, can we switch them? Ladies, why don't you head up to the front? Gentlemen, here's what you're going to do. You're about to pray for these young women. I love you, my man. Hey, ladies, as you're heading up, gentlemen, let's stay as focused as possible. In fact, gentlemen, you can just start praying right now, guys. I'm going to turn this over to my wife, and I'm going to let her pray for you, ladies. Shh, listen up. Guys, I want to tell you this. We can never, and we will never, understand the pressure that every single one of these young ladies go through every single day as they are convinced and told and just like lied to that they need to compare themselves to people who spend millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars on an image that is not real. That they need to compare themselves to the magazines that hang out close to the checkout stand at the grocery store that has been overly photoshopped and is not real. We will never understand the pressure that these young ladies feel to have a standard of beauty that is completely fake and completely a lie. Young ladies in the room, God says this about you, that you're his masterpiece. God does stuff only intentionally. You know that God cannot do anything accidentally. It's not in his nature. It's literally impossible for God to do anything accidentally. And in the poetic creation account, the creation account in Genesis 1, it was written poetically. And in that time, they believed in what was called a crescendo. You guys know what a crescendo is? It's like a grand finale. Do you know what the very last thing that God created was? You. Women. God created you last. So know this. Even when you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, first and foremost, if you're in junior high or you're early high school, just wait it out. I wish we had pictures of Amber when she was in third, fourth grade. Yo, my wife was goofy. Goofy. Young ladies, maturity is on its way. You are going to grow into something phenomenal and something beautiful. Know this, young ladies, please, 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 please. If you have to get off of social media for a month, do it. You have to begin to get yourself in a place where you do not compare yourself to other masterpieces. Nobody's gonna walk into, two years ago, I got to go to Paris and I got to go to the Louvre, and at the Louvre, there's a painting called the Mona Lisa. At the Louvre, there's also some paintings by Picasso. Nobody puts Picasso and Leonardo da Vinci next to each other and go, Picasso was so much better. Stupid, right? Because they're both masterpieces. And some will look at Picasso and be like, that's amazing. And some will look at Da Vinci and say, I actually prefer this. There is a man of God out there that will look at you and go, masterpiece. Phenomenal. That's what I've been looking at. Man, this is all I want. So you don't have to compare yourselves. Again, if you have to get off social media, get off social media. If you have to drop some magazine, does anyone have magazine subscriptions anymore? I don't know. If you got to get off of magazine subscriptions, get off. If you have to delete some dude's numbers from your phone tonight, do it. Gentlemen, however we can, let's help these young ladies to walk with confidence, to walk in wholeness, and let us, gentlemen, be a part of their healing process instead of bringing more brokenness. Amen?
All right, guys. You gotta help me pray for the ladies, all right? Because we're gonna back them, we're gonna believe in them. So let's pray. God, I just pray that you would just restore hearts. God, all of the ladies that are here at the front, Father, just restore their hearts. God, that they would begin to think differently. They would begin to talk differently. They would begin to act differently. They would begin to dress differently. God, I believe that you will bring full restoration. God, begin that healing process, Father, that they would be so solid in you that when they do find someone, it's a relationship that would be talked about for years, that people would look at that and say goals, and they would look at it and say, it couldn't be nobody but God. Just like with Corey and I, the good things that people see, God, that will be this room. They will have relationships where people couldn't deny God being a part of it. And Father, it starts with that inner healing, God. So I pray for restoration in the hearts of all the girls in this room. God, I pray that they would know their worth. God, that they would run to you, Father, and that they would put all of everything that they have in who you say they are. God, you say that you have good plans for them. God, you have a good future for them. God, help them to trust that. God, as they say, I believe, sometimes they need help in their belief, God, in the unbelief that they have. Father, I pray that you would just continue to restore their heart, continue to remind them of who they are as they commit their life to you. God, I pray that you would bless them abundantly, not just in relationships, but in every area of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you, girls.
Hey, we love you guys so, 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 so much. Know this. And no matter what, relationship isn't always perfect, but when you do it God's way, it is so, so worth it. It's phenomenal. So we love you guys. We believe in you guys. We back you guys. Hey, we'll see you Sunday for service takeover. We love you guys so much. Hey, if you need to have a conversation with a leader, find them. Have that conversation tonight. God bless you.